to go ahead and call the meeting. The order is 2:13 or
2:07.
2:07. There we go. March 14th, 2023. Calling a meeting of the Johns County Cemetery District to order. We have people.
Sheila's on. Luke's on, and Aaron P.
Okay, Luke, you can hear us, Luke. Good to go. Sheila?
Can you hear us, Sheila?
Can you hear us, Sheila?
Turn on your speakers.
There you go.
There you go. No. Okay, we will open with public comments. John, okay.
So I want to first thank Barb for the records. I made arrangements to come and review them next week for my records report.
Okay, but John and I are going to be there too, so those arrangements need to be made in conjunction with us. But we can just verify the date.
Okay, yeah.
Before we leave. Okay. If that's okay.
Yeah, like next Tuesday, I figured. It's a stab in the dark. So if it doesn't work for you guys, just let me know.
Okay.
So I do appreciate that. And I do have one more for you. And then lastly, item 8B on the agenda. I'm hoping that the board doesn't try to find loopholes around the state constitution and prove the ad, the political ad, correct. Hopefully they work for the people. That's what I'm asking. Follow the black and white rules of the state constitution. And that's all I have, though. But okay. Thanks.
Thank you, John. Anyone else? I guess there is anyone else. Yes.
Do you want me to read this so that these guys know what it is?
Probably, yeah. Let's go
okay.
Ahead.
Dear Johnson County Cemetery District FOIA officer, I am writing to request information under the Public Records Act regarding the purchase of land commonly referred to as the Joy Edition. Specifically, I'm requesting all documents related to the purchase of this land, including but not limited to purchase agreement, deed, appraisals, environmental assessments, correspondence between cemetery district and other parties involved in the purchase, meeting minutes or agendas related to the purchase. If possible, I would prefer to review these documents in person. Please let me know the location and hours of the office where I can access the documents. If it is not possible to review the documents in person, please let me know how I can obtain the documents in another format. Under the Wyoming Public Records Act, I understand that you are required to respond to this request within 7 business days. If you are unable to provide the requested information within this time frame, please let me know the reason for the delay and when I can expect to receive the requested information. Please let me know if any fees will be charged for this request, and if so, the amount. If the fees exceed $10, please notify me before processing the request. Thank you for your attention to this matter. I look forward to receiving the requested information as soon as possible. Sincerely, John Zorbas.
Can you give a copy of that, please?
Of this letter?
No. Okay. I have 3 copies.
Okay.
3?
Yes.
Okay.
We can make copies afterwards. You guys got a copy of the machine, right?
Yeah. Okay. Any other public comments? There being none, Liz, have you completed the vouchers?
I held a couple back for these early questions in the office.
Okay, yeah, that was kind of... Oh, come on in.
No, I was looking for Grant.
He's not here. He's in Casper. Is there anything?
Yeah, I need a key for the shop.
Oops.
There's soil in a utility vehicle, isn't there?
Yeah, I realize that, but in order to put everything away in the shop, I need a key for the shop. Put it away when
one
I'm done.
One of the main doors.
What's that?
One of the main doors to the shop.
Or a garage door opener. Can you go open the door for her?
I don't have the key for that, because I have no reason to go in there. I don't, personally.
Then I'll just put it in the garage in here, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're going. We'll move on to approving vouchers. Have you? Thanks, John. You have some that you pulled.
Yeah, I just wanted a couple of questions. So the Johnson County Fire Control is for accounting and bookkeeping and such. Is that a monthly fee? Is that when we pay them?
Yeah,
monthly?
That's
Liz, that's me.
That's okay,
Janet.
That's you.
Nice
okay.
To meet you.
Yeah, okay, I talked to you. Yeah.
Yes, the fire department contracts me out.
Okay,
to do the bookkeeping.
Okay, I just had a question
sure.
about that, if that was a monthly fee or not. So, and then I was wondering what the Chesbro Electric was for. It says installed new outlet and closet for security
that was,
system.
That was for the main box for the entire security system. It is wired into that.
Okay, so that's a new thing that we put
in? Yeah, that's part of the security system that we just recently installed.
Okay.
There should have been
another big one.
Voucher there for the system that was installed. It was what, fifth?
This one here? That's the 5,000?
Yeah,
that's the
security system.
So this is a new system that we've got, and this is the entire system.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just what I want. It's not for, it's not some monthly thing.
No.
Okay,
no.
Just that's what I want.
Yeah,
well, that's what I was thinking.
capital expenditure.
Okay, now this one didn't have a little sign sheet.
Liz, it came to the funeral home, and I just picked it up yesterday
after
I dropped off the packet.
Okay.
So it will be recorded in the financial paperwork next month, but I wanted to get the check written. So
yeah,
that's fine.
Those were my questions.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question. I continue to be concerned about the amount of overtime. 32 hours for one employee and 10 hours for another, that's a lot of overtime. And I know last month Grant explained it's special projects, but I don't understand why any of these projects are time-bound. Why should there be overtime for any of these?
You're talking like, for example, a deadline. In other words, we have to...
Right. To have 32 hours overtime...
Personally, I have
$1,064 is a lot.
Grant's not here, and I did visit with him about the overtime situation last week. He said he was going to put together a system to where the overtime would be explained. As to the whys and the what fors, and I understand whether or not that answers your concern. It doesn't necessarily answer my concern at this time.
It does not answer my concern because that's putting the cart before the horse. That's taking more time
to explain it, where
we should set some parameters. It's like no overtime.
It should
you know?
Be brought up.
Go ahead. Added to our agenda under new business discussion of an overtime policy. I'd ask Grant to bring it to us this month, which it doesn't appear that he did.
He did put a statement. He does have a statement. It's called a special report, and we can. Let's see. Where is that? It's in your packet. It's page is not numbered, but it's in your packet. It's just a brief. It's called a special report on top. I thought it was on the agenda.
I see a special report.
Yeah, but it doesn't really.
Pretty much it's just saying we don't need to have a.
Well, yeah, it doesn't explain why there's as much overtime as there is. It just basically refers to the policy and procedure manual, which it's actually the special district handbook explains the overtime policy. In the past, we've had compensation was compensatory time as opposed to time and a half. In other words, if they work over their allotted 40 hours, not allotted, but over the 40-hour week, they were given compensatory time. Well, that got to be a problem as far as using it. There were some abuses as far as using that. So the board, and I can't remember exactly when we changed it, but we did go to just the standard time and a half for overtime. And that is what he's referring to. So,
may I read this to them?
Yeah, please.
Okay, the special report that's in the packet. Sexton's report per the request in February's meeting for parameters and requirements for employee overtime. To the best of my knowledge, there have historically been no incidents when the standards set forth in our manual were inadequate in addressing the workload of Johnson County Cemetery District. Therefore, I find policy and procedures manual to be adequate in defining the stipulations for employee overtime. Signed by Grant.
Yeah, that does
Which
not...
does not address
does not,
the issue.
It's not addressing the issue we have with the overtime. So
I would like to second Luke's motion.
Oh,
thank you.
I didn't hear
that.
I didn't hear that.
We put this on the agenda for next month to look at the overtime. What's the word I want?
Policy.
Thank you. The overtime policy.
Yeah, we would have to establish. I'm not going to expound on that because that would just complicate things. So there was a motion made to review. What was it? I'm sorry. Nope. I'm thinking of too many things you want to tell
me. Well, I just had, rather than discussing it in the approving of vouchers, I think that's probably more appropriate for new business, whether that's today or whether that's next month. I mean, personally, I would like to set, I expected when we were all concerned about it last month that that would have been a hint that we probably shouldn't kind of extend that amount of overtime for a second month in a row. Mm-hmm. And obviously it wasn't. And so I think we probably need to set some board parameters around it today, even prior to having a formal policy that maybe we can bring to the board next month. But I guess my motion was to discuss it under new business today.
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought you meant next month. Okay. I think we should do it today.
Been a motion. Is mm-hmm. there? Is there
second.
A second? Is Barbara? Okay. Let me get. We would add that to the
new business,
and let's open with that. Is that acceptable? If we open
business.
With that when we get to the new business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right now, that's the only thing under new business. So.
All right. So, are there any other questions as far as the vouchers are concerned?
I make a motion. We approve the signing of the vouchers.
Second.
There's been a motion to approve the vouchers and a second. All those in favor of approving the vouchers signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Aye. I'm sorry, Sheila and Luke.
I said aye.
I did.
Aye.
Oh, aye. Okay. No one opposed the motion.
Turn that up a little bit.
The motion is carried.
Plus.
Yep.
Sheila, say something.
Keep going.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Oh, right. Testing.
All right, good. Now John can hear you.
Okay. So the motion is carried. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes of the previous, of the February board meeting?
Yes. Approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Nominations, but approve it. A second by Barb.
There's
a big motion.
There's been a motion to approve the minutes and a second. All those in.
I don't think that'll help.
All those in favor of approving the minutes signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
Aye.
There being none, the minutes have been approved or accepted. The financial report.
You ready for me?
And, yep.
Okay, on the third page of your packet, or fourth page, you have the account balances there. We are earning some interest there on the money market. The checking account, like I explained before, is a sweep account. So it's going to hang out there around $25,000. So we're getting the most bang for our buck getting the interest in the money market account. I did a little research on the MSBCDs, and that money is, the interest is accrued annually. So we won't see the interest on that until November. So just kind of keep that in mind when we're thinking about budgets. WildStar is still pretty low, but we don't have many funds in there. On the next page, the profit and loss detail, the only thing I want to point out is that Chesbro Electric will show up on next month's report, and that I reclassified Paul's from fuel to mileage. So I took, I think, $140-some dollars out of fuel and put it under mileage instead to be more accurate. But other than that, I don't think there's a whole lot to be concerned with there, unless there was any more questions. And then I think three or four more pages, you'll come to, and it's not titled, the budget versus actual. We are 66% through the fiscal year. We did receive some 22-23 taxes, property taxes, but not a whole lot. Again, we're going to kind of have to look at our budget and see how those 23-24 funds come into play. But that's new for everybody, so not quite sure how that's all going to work out. But it's separate, so we'll be aware of that. As far as expenses, there are a few line items that are over the 66% through the fiscal year. Some are even over 100, and they were highlighted, but again, that doesn't come through when Grant prints it, so I'll work on doing something else there. Shop supplies are quite a bit over budget, actually almost twice what was budgeted. But bottom line, we're 66% through the fiscal year, but we've only expended 53% of what was budgeted as far as normal expenditures.
What were the other ones that were over besides shop supplies?
Well, if you looked on the very last column where it shows percent of budget.
Oh, okay. You
anything
can see them there.
Over 100% would have been over what was budgeted.
Okay, thank you.
The gas, oil, and propane, that's kind of understandable. Because of the increases, the shop and cemetery supplies. I know we approved. I can't remember the exact amount that we approved. Was it $3,500? Which we, I mean, if we have to, we can transfer that from another line item.
John always liked to keep the line items at or near budget. He didn't like to see overages. As long as we don't go over the total expenditures, we're okay. We don't have to amend the budget. We don't have to make changes.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a matter of how the board wants to handle it. Like I said, John liked to make those transfers so that the line items didn't show these kind of overages. So,
well, this should be a one-time overage because they're reorganizing and cleaning and shelving and one-time purchases. So I don't expect that to happen next month.
No, I don't think so either. So,
hello, this is Grant.
Hi, Grant.
Oh, Grant. Hey, that's GB.
GB. Hi, GB.
Okay. Let's see. There, I'm looking at percentage of full-time employees. We're at 100%.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can address that. I just did the calculation. You know, it's a little bit different because we have now full-time hourly employees versus we used to have salaried employees. So the budget was made up for salaried employees. But if we take our entire Willow Grove employee salary budget, you know, we're under our 66% right now. 66% would be 97,000. And so we're at 82,201. So we're well under budget in that line item overall. It's just the way that we accounted for it. And I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, but.
No, Luke, that's exactly right. And if you want, I can transfer some of that salaried employee budgeted funds into the hourly employee to correct that difference. It's totally you guys' call. It's however you guys understand it the best.
Yeah, that would make sense to me if we just do the annual expected salary from Paul and we just put that into that.
Okay.
As the budgeted amount, if that makes sense.
Yep. Can I get a motion for me to make that transfer?
So I would make a motion to transfer Paul's expected annual salary into the budget line item for hourly full-time employees.
Does that make sense, what we're trying to do?
Where is he at now? What's Paul under now?
He's under hourly full-time employees, but you'll see there's no amount budgeted there.
Oh.
So we're just taking some of the budgeted funds from salary and put it under the hourly.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I'll second that then.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion from board members? There being none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, that motion is carried.
Okay, and then the only other thing I want to point out during the financial report, Grant has a backup copy on his computer of QuickBooks. I run accountant, I have the 2020, but the cemetery district just owns QuickBooks version 2020. I got a notice saying that QuickBooks will no longer support that, so we have to upgrade. That's their way of making money. It's not a problem for me because I have a newer version and I can just roll it. But I did a little research and they're trying to get away from the desktop. They want everybody to go online. So they are now charging $1,500 to get updated QuickBooks. Like I said, it's not an issue for me yet because I have a newer version. But if the cemetery wants to continue to have their own backup,
and we will be sticking with QuickBooks.
I don't know anything else, Barb. So you're going to have to, I mean, when I go, you can do whatever you want.
I understand the online version is quite different.
That's what I'm understanding as well.
Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah.
And so do they have a deadline of when they're wanting to push everyone to online?
May 31st.
Of this year?
Yeah.
So are they going to totally close down?
No, like I said, I have
this affects my budget.
Yeah. I have 2022, so I'm still good. It's the 20 version that they're no longer supporting.
Oh, okay.
Is there any benefit to having the backup copy that you can think of, Janet?
And, you know, John liked to have the backup copy, which I completely understand. I don't think Grant's ever pulled anything off of it. You know, I try to make myself available if there's any questions to get receipts or pull reports or whatever you guys may need. You know, if it was $200, I'd say not a big deal, but when they're trying to charge $1,500, Luke, I think those funds could be spent better elsewhere.
Is that a yearly charge or just a one time?
And then they want an annual subscription on top of that bar, so I didn't look into it really hard yet.
I don't see a need for it if we can just ask you to print a report at any time. I mean, that's so easy to do with QuickBooks.
Yes. And I can sure make a backup, you know, once a month, so you could keep it in here if something would happen to me or my QuickBooks. I mean, that's...
No, I'm sure you're backing it up all the time.
Yeah, anyway. I backed up. I pay for a subscription to have things backed up. But if you want a copy in here on a backup, I mean, I can sure make whatever happen you need to.
You want to make that a motion?
Do we have to? I don't know.
Do we have to?
I don't think we have to.
Yeah.
No, okay. I don't think we have to. Recommendation.
So we'll just let the subscription end.
Yeah. Okay, so I will roll it over into my version 2022.
Okay.
Any other questions on the financial report to this point? We will go into a short session discussing the budget.
Okay.
I believe Luke requested that we spend a period of time today as opposed to a work session.
Yeah, I thought, you know, and hopefully everyone got the worksheet. Do you guys have it in front of you?
Probably not.
No.
I brought a hard copy in. I can go make copies real quick.
Thank you.
To me, that would be the easiest, and then we can just kind of work off of it as we go down.
And, Luke, are you looking at the one that I sent this morning?
I am, yes.
Okay.
No, I didn't see one this morning.
So basically, it looks just like that budget form that we just got done talking through as far as the percentage of what we spent compared to the 66% of the way through the year. And what Chanda has done is projected out our expenses through the end of the fiscal year for 22-23. And so we'll have those estimated figures in one column. And then a column that's blank, essentially, for a preliminary 23-24 budget for each line item. And so my thought would be just to quickly go down through, and if anyone has any expertise, Grant certainly would like your expertise on any of the areas that you feel are you have sight over, John, because I don't know the requirements of a lot of them, and Chanda can help us to, but at least we can think through that, and then we can take it home and chew on it and talk about it again next month. Basically, we have to have this preliminary budget complete and submitted by June 1st. And so we still have a little bit of time. We have, I guess, the April meeting and then May meeting, so we'll have to submit a copy. And then in association, I think, with our June meeting, we have to have a formal budget hearing. Which we just approve what we allow for public comment and approve the budget that we've provided, is my understanding. So if someone knows better than what I've just said, please correct me. So I think...
Here's one. Lauren, do you know where there's paper for the copier?
We can just kind of start down through it just based on those line items from the, you know, the budget worksheet in the packet until Chanda gets in there, just so we're not wasting time. So the first line item is the accounting contract, and she filled in an estimated cost of $12,000. So my thought would be that's what she plans to charge us is $1,000 a month. There's not going to be an increase in that fee. So I think we can just leave that put. Can you guys all hear me okay, John?
Yes.
But you can. Okay. So advertising, in the projected figures, we would be right at $2,000. In 21-22, we spent $3,000, and we approved $1,500 for the 22-23 budget cycle. So what exactly do we have to advertise? Is this just in the newspaper, the budget hearings and the meeting things, or is there other things that go into that budget?
Yeah, basically that's it.
My thought would be, you know, if it's just the required notices to the paper, and we spent $2,000 this year, you know, I think it's reasonable just to keep that budget at $2,000, but hopefully next year it'll be less than that because we won't have to advertise associated with elections and such. But so my suggestion would be we just put $2,000 in that line item, unless anyone feels otherwise.
Can I speak to that?
Sure, Grant. Thank you.
Some of that was also, we published several thank yous for volunteers at the cemetery, so that's why that ran a little bit over, which isn't something I want to quit doing in the future. I think it's a good thing to do. And then some of that was also advertising for summer employees. They usually run an ad for summer employees, and that's a routine thing as well. So those were just two other parts. And then also we have drafted some brochures and handouts for just for people needing information or who come into the office and they just have information on their of our services. And so that's part of that publishing as well.
Sure. So do you anticipate $2,000 being enough, or do you want to add 10% to that budget, like $2,200?
I think maybe adding 10% might be a good idea because the drafts that we have for the flyers and the folders and handouts, we haven't actually had those printed yet. So that printing expense is going to be coming under that now as well. So
great. Anyone opposed to the $2,200, just a 10% increase in our projected expenses this year? So the SIMS annual contract is obviously an annual fee, so we'll keep the $3,400 for that. The CPA and attorney, that's our audit, and so that's $4,800 per the engagement letter we signed last month with Mohawk, Johnson, and Goodwin. So it will be $4,800, what Chanda put in there. Education, we were approved last year for $1,000. Looks like it, up to 8 months we've used like 559, so she projects out 1,000. Any big education expenses that you're anticipating, Grant, or can we keep that line item at 1,000?
1,000 should cover it. We'll have that'll be a little bit higher after this this training that Paul and I are at right now, but it still should be under 1,000. I think we could do that again next year.
Great. So election expenses should be zero since there's no election in fiscal year 22. Property insurance. So we were approved for $13,000 this year. We actually went down from our previous year insurance with what North Wyoming provided us. And so, I mean, I would still anticipate the potential for that to go up. So I guess I would recommend just keeping our budget line item at $13,000 like last year, unless anyone is opposed to that.
No.
Mileage. So 8 months actual, we are at $299, so right at $300. The year prior, we spent $350, and we were approved for $1,000 last calendar year. So, I mean, I think, especially with Liz traveling back and forth, I think we could probably just leave that at 1,000 unless anyone feels otherwise.
Sounds good.
Office supplies. So, we're projecting out at budget, according to Chanda's figures there, so $5,800 was what budget was. In 2021, we spent $7,700, and so, I don't know, we're at $3,300.
What kind of expenses are we putting into office supplies, Grant?
Good question.
Some of the projected expenses for office supplies would be, we're trying to develop a office space there in KC shop as well. So we're going to include some office supplies with that. But the historic, I think across this last year and the previous year, the office supplies was some of the remodeling of that, the house there into the office space. So like the conference table you're using right now, a few other things, the monitor up there on the wall behind you, those were part of those expenses. So that expense is ongoing right now, but at some point we're going to be able to start cutting back on that as our infrastructure is finished.
Yeah, I mean, we're at 57% spent of our budget, so we're staying pretty in line with the budget. So I guess to me it just makes sense to keep that at $5,800.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds good.
Fair at level. Phone and internet has been a little bit over budget, actually, would appear. And so we're at 75% right now, so it would appear that we need to either decrease that expense or raise our budget item. So I would propose we increase that budget line item to $5,000, which should give us a little cushion there.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Travel. So we've been approved this year for $1,000. Year prior, we spent $168. This year, we've spent $212. I suppose that'll go up with Grant and Paul's travel to the conference. But I think it would seem that $1,000, if we just kept that line item level, we would probably be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
There's a contingency line item in here, which I think is a good idea, just so that we don't have to go back. You know, if we go over budget with the whole budget, then we have to have another budget hearing. And so, you know, obviously there was a $3,600 budget contingency built in last year. We haven't spent any of that, but, you know, keeping that flat at $3,600 would seem like a good idea. I don't know.
I think
we were at 5,000 in the past. But
if I can explain that a little bit, we were kind of tight on funds at the end of last fiscal year, so some of the bills were bumped off and not paid until this July 1st, which is the new fiscal year. So some of that contingency money was moved around to level out those line items. So that's why some of these numbers don't have budgeted a round figure.
Okay.
It was bumped around.
I wondered about that.
It was bumped around to help level out those expenses that we were pushing off, if that explains that.
Well, that's why I thought we'd always have right at 5,000 in that contingency fund.
Well, it sounds like just leave it at that. We've had to use it before, so
$5,000. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going from past experiences. That's where it's been.
So cemetery maintenance and other repairs. So it looks like we were approved for $8,200. We're at $3,800, and we're right. Yeah. So we're at 46% of budget, so we're staying fairly in line with that. So I don't know, we just kept that at like $8,500. Do you anticipate major expenses, Grant?
I do anticipate some repairs on the buildings and the facilities. But as far as the equipment maintenance, I think we're getting caught up on that, and that's hopefully we'll get some of that out of the way. So we're going to lose some of those expenses, but we're going to pick up a few more as we try to get the facilities up to par. So probably leaving it about where it's at is going to be should be fine.
So we left it at $8,500, a nice round figure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Sure. Yeah.
Our ditch assessment looks like is $100 a year. We budgeted at $500. I don't. Do you have any history to that, John?
No, I'm surprised we budgeted 500 that much, but there sometimes there's there might be an emergency assessment, for example, a ditch washing out, a leak, or whatever. And I think that's why it was at $500. But, I mean, we do have that contingency fund to cover something like that. So I don't know if we need to budget that $500, having only used $100. So
I'd just say leave it as is.
Yeah.
Leave it at $100 or leave it at $500?
Leave it at $500 just in case.
Okay.
I guess we always have that money left to do something else.
Yeah.
With.
So here's one that, you know, obviously we talked about we're way over budget. So we're already, you know, $1,000 over budget on our gas, oil, and propane. So it would seem that, you know, we're going to be at least $8,500. So we budgeted $10,000 next year. That would seem like a reasonable figure to me. I don't know.
We make $10,000 and hope that's enough.
Yeah.
Gravel weeds, it's been zero at Willow Grove, so I don't anticipate that changing. I think we can leave it.
Didn't we just sign a voucher for grave openings?
KC probably, right?
Let me look back through this real quick and see if
I don't remember.
There was income for grave openings.
Income.
Oh, it was income. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So just that's
so
just what I wanted to make
sure. The expense of paying for the grave opening in KC. We had that contracted out.
Right. So
Dennis has always just done that by donation, hasn't he?
No, we've been paying him, yeah.
Okay.
I believe it's a flat $500 fee, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, what it appears it's been in the budget anyway recently, so. But, Grant, I don't anticipate you guys not being able to do the grave openings at Willow Grove.
No, I think we shouldn't have any trouble with that.
Okay. So the dumpster fee has been right at $900, so I would propose we just leave our budget at $900. Here's our machinery repair and parts. We budgeted $9,600 last year. In 21-22, we had $15,000, and it looks like we're on track to spend you know, probably over our $9,600 budget. So I would suggest like $11,000 or $12,000,
yeah,
for a budget for that.
Yeah,
12,000.
I agree with that number.
Where does that sit with you, Grant? Having, I mean, you're got hands on with all that machinery and stuff.
Yeah, I think raising that's probably a good idea. I know that in the past, there's been maintenance that's just kind of been let go because the funds wasn't there or they were trying to be careful about it. So I think raising that a little bit probably would be a good idea.
Great. So rental, is, I don't know what that line item's for. Is that like rental equipment or?
That I'm pretty sure that's rental equipment, like from Rocky Mountain Power in the event that we need a equipment that we don't have, or if we have something in the shop then we can rent something else in lieu of it.
Okay, so looks like the year prior we spent $335. We've so far spent zero. We budgeted $1,600.
That's
so I don't know if we just leave that at $1,600 or so safety supplies. It's like year prior, we spent $850. We budgeted $700 this year, and we've spent about half of that. So, it would, unless you anticipate big expenses, Grant, we could probably leave that at $700.
I would, yeah.
Okay. Shop and cemetery supplies. This is where we were talking. We were a bit over budget, quite a bit shelving units and things that we bought. The year prior, we spent right at $7,000. This year, we've already spent $7,200, and we only budgeted $4,000. I mean, seems like we've had some big expenses that we probably won't have next year. What's your thoughts, Grant, as far as that goes?
Yeah, I don't see us incurring that again. I know we do have more building projects to do, but I don't think they're going to be as substantial as the shop and what we've done this through this winter. So you may raise it in a little bit, but I don't see us going over the top again next year.
So based on historic averages, I mean, 7,000 the year before, we're already at 7,200. I mean, I guess my suggestion would be 7,000. That sounds reasonable to everyone.
Yeah, I think that sounds good
here.
Yeah.
Restrooms at Willow Grove Supplies. We budgeted 250 last year. I think we're going to be right in line with that, so I would suggest we just leave that alone. Top Gravel Roads, Willow Grove. So we haven't spent anything yet, but I imagine that'll come in the spring.
Yep.
We budgeted $1,500 this year. The year prior, we spent $6,300.
There's a lot of gravel on the side of the roads this year.
We stockpiled, correct me if I'm wrong, Grant, but I believe we stockpiled gravel last year.
We stockpiled 3/4 inch clean, which is kind of a road base. There's some rock that I know we're going to need some rock as kind of a finisher for the tops of the roads. And we, in reference to the gravel on the sides of the roads, we're working on developing a addressing that issue in KC as well as Willow Grove. So that's a project that's coming up too. But I think we may need some top gravel, but we have plenty of 3/4 inch clean.
So what would you anticipate budget needs for next year?
You know, I would. How many? Give me a wild guess for me. I'm sorry.
I can help you out with that. How many loads of gravel are you going to need? Because 1,500 is going to get you one.
Yeah, that's basically one truckload.
Yep, that is one truckload.
Yeah, that's a good question. We could just go with one for now and.
Not a lot.
For the amount of roads we have, that's not a lot.
No.
I would off my cuff or top of my head or however you want to say that, I'd guess we're probably going to need two or three truckloads of gravel.
I mean, if we did three, so I'd say $5,000 as a budget seems like a reasonable number to me. And then maybe put that on your to-do list to follow up on, you know, think through it a little bit more so that if we need to change that number and be all prepared, we can prior to actually submitting this is just kind of preliminary.
Sure. And the thing is with gravel, if we end up purchasing more than we need, it's going to be available next year. It doesn't deteriorate or fall apart.
Sure. So tree trimming, we budgeted $15,000. I know you guys had a volunteer organization come in last year, which saved a lot of money. The year prior, they did $2,100 worth of trimming. Mm-hmm. Do we have anticipated needs for this year?
We have one or two large removals. That one for sure that just has to happen probably this summer. I don't know if we can get the volunteers back. If they will, it's a program, and if they choose our cemetery to assist, then they probably can take care of our bigger projects. If not, then definitely we're going to use those funds, absolutely. So some of that's kind of contingent. I did talk to the representative there in Sheridan for that saluting branches, and he said the way things are going right now, they're pretty sure they're going to be able to come back next summer as well. So we may not need that.
Is everyone okay with like $10,000? I mean, that would be significantly larger than what we have. would still account for, if we did have a full tree removal, $10,000, I think we'd still get that done based on some quotes I recently have done, so sounds like a reasonable figure to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
So utilities, so we budgeted $14,535, the year prior was $9,000, and it looks like we're anticipated at about $13,000. So we probably ought to leave that budget item alone at $14,500.
Yeah.
So the salary, as you look over the right column there, functional compensation program review, which we need to do, is probably not appropriate for that in here, so we'll take that offline. And move on down to wheat spraying and fertilizing. It looks like 21-22, we spent $48. So far, we've spent $27. We're budgeted $430. Any big fertilizer or weed chemical needs, Grant?
Grass seed.
We're probably going to need some grass seed. We received multiple complaints last year about some areas needing grass, and we're anticipating trying to tackle those pretty heavily this spring. So undoubtedly, we're going to need some grass seed and probably some fertilizer or starter or ground cover for that too.
So do we need to increase that to like $1,000?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Because we're looking at completely resculpting at least two blocks.
There's definitely a need for more weed spraying also.
Yeah.
We are working on developing a kind of a large applicator for weed spray that we can put on the back of the side-by-side or a pickup or something. So we're probably going to end up purchasing some of that herbicide or weed spray for that too. And I don't know what those prices are. We haven't got that far yet with it.
Okay. So now we're moving on to the KC budget here. Cemetery maintenance, other repairs. So far we've spent zero. We budgeted $1,000. The year prior we spent $943. So it seems like leaving it at $1,000 would be a reasonable amount.
We have Minetti is here. Do you have any... And you want to add?
I don't anticipate as of right now. And so last year within our budget, it was just basically oil filters and stuff like that, just general maintenance to get ready for the season. I haven't had any big breaks or anything like that. So as of right now, I don't foresee anything that should or will be breaking.
Okay.
So, Grant, I sent you some pictures the other day of like where the water was kind of draining, and you know, I think we need to work on some water drainage and get places for the water to flow off there. Would sure. that be under cemetery maintenance and in this budget, or would that go somewhere else?
Are you talking about in KC or in Buffalo?
In KC.
KC, yeah.
Yeah, that would probably...
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, that would go under the maintenance.
So I don't have any idea what that might cost, but it would cost something to, you know, put in some ditches or whatever we need just to improve the drainage and stuff.
We want to bear in mind that this year was kind of an anomaly if you're looking at drainage situations that look tougher than normal.
Like even when we toured before and we saw where there had been, you could tell water had stood on some graves. It doesn't smell like this every year, but we always have rain and drainage. Would you?
Yeah, and there's some sinking.
What do you think, Danette?
There's some sinking too, and I think that it's going to require some soil and some seed.
Okay.
Okay. Not necessarily seed, because KC is a prairie cemetery.
Yeah.
True.
So
true.
As far as that goes, there's no need to replant, and I don't mean any disrespect, but
no.
As far as the sinking goes, yes, there are a few that are going down. But not only is it because of erosion, because of weather and such, it's because I have a rodent problem that I can't get rid of. And they're starting to now come into different sections of the cemetery underneath
my
headstones.
We noticed that.
And I cannot get rid of them. So when I went to the WGGA, Grant and I asked a gentleman to get me a quote, and so he did, and I emailed it to Grant. And there's a machine that they have that you put underneath, and it goes, like, to all their tunnels, and it, like, smokes them out and oils them. Yeah, it's supposed to get rid of them forever, supposedly. But anyway, but it's kind of an expensive thing, but in the longevity of things, I think if we purchase this particular machine, and Grant's got more information because he's done a little bit more research on it, then it would behoove us to do something like that, too. And so that will help with a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
right.
And after
and
the
I
meeting, I can share with you what my German neighbors used to do.
Oh, certainly. And I still
I had them, and they did, so.
My gravel budget from last year, too.
Yeah, kind of getting off here a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I just...
So do we need to increase?
Yes.
Well, like with the some dirt and soils and filling some drainage issue, maybe if we increased, doubled it, Liz, do you think that's adequate to 2,000?
I guess I would feel more comfortable if we did 5 and hope we don't spend it, if that's possible.
That's fine.
And I was planning on looking at that drainage issues as I'll be going back through KC tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
And that might help us kind of get an idea of what we need to do there as well.
That'd be great. Gas oil, propane, that may change based on propane heater. I don't know if we need to budget that in there, John. No, we haven't talked about that yet, but...
Well, we're going to do it one way or the other. It's going to get done, so I think we ought to consider that.
$1,000 enough?
That's where I would think we'd probably be. We're looking at 3 months, 3 to 3.5 months, where that heater to maintain a constant 45 degree temperature would. I'm just kind of basing that on what my shop is costing me to heat at 45. There again, at 45 degrees constant temperatures. So I would say that it's going to cost $1,000 down there.
Because we got a thing that from Tri-County saying the estimate to fill up a tank, if we go that way, $1,100.
Just to fill the tank.
Just to fill the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I think it's $1,100.
Yeah.
Plus the $100 that we had before, so maybe $1,200.
Yeah, I'd say $1,200 just be on the safe side.
Okay, McRib openings, looks like they're $500 a piece, and we've done budgeted 3 a year. Does that sound like an ongoing figure? So $1,500.
Yep.
Machinery repair, we haven't spent much this year. We spent $2,300 the year before.
$100 isn't very much, though. I don't know what.
The reason for the extra cost on that one is because they had to take my Toro in. I had a couple hydraulic leaks, and it had never been serviced since I started in 2015 or 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So they had it started, so it should be good to go. But I don't foresee, and my John Deere runs very well.
Maybe.
The only thing that I can see as far as that is like some new blades.
Yeah, I'd go a couple hundred, Luke.
Yeah.
A couple hundred?
Yeah, at least.
Just a case.
Yeah.
And like we've said, we can move money around as long as we need. Supplies for the restroom, looks like $100 has been adequate.
Yeah.
The shop cemetery supplies, You know, we spent $550 the year before. We're at $327 now. Budgeted $1,500, so leaving it at $1,500 seems safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. Top gravel roads in KC. Thoughts on that one?
Well, $500 won't get you one load of gravel, so.
How
much gravel do you think we might need there?
What is the roads looking like now? Where
well, there's a couple roads that absolutely need it. So down by where,
where all the big snow bank is?
Yeah, that's horrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dennis got in there and helped me one day when I couldn't get to the, because it was too heavy, and so he likes to push dirt a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know, at least two truckloads, I would think.
I would think so.
And I didn't use it 2 years ago, so there should still be a budget in there for that. Or maybe it's the $500 that they told me and they wouldn't give me a load, so I saved it.
Yeah.
Okay.
$3,000.
Yep.
Trees in KC, $250 enough to get you the supplies to keep those growing?
Yes.
How about planting a few more trees?
We would have to, are you talking about outright buying them, or are you talking about applying for a grant through the conservation district?
Any way we can get them.
So I'd have to get with Anita and find out when the grant would have to be in as far as that, but I only need the existing locations, I would only need two trees as of right now.
What about putting some trees throughout with the cemetery? Rather than just along the fence line?
Are you going to buy the plot where it goes?
If somewhere along the not along the fence line, that's up to the
person that
buys the plot.
Correct.
Is that the way it is here, too? So the reason you have trees is because people have bought them for a long period of time. We get a grant that would allow us to donate trees to people or something like that?
I don't know. I could ask.
Let's ask.
Yeah.
I don't think you can.
But that would still go into purchasing a plot, though, right?
Yeah.
Because if I put it and say section 1234, and there's already a tree there, but somebody wanted to purchase, unless the board has purchased that and it's already said it's spoken for, then
okay.
Because a plot is somebody's personal property. Yep. You can't do anything with it. If they have a tree there, then it's...
Well, I think in the past there wasn't water available. That's why there's no trees. And now we have water, so...
Right.
I just want to find a way we can do that, but I'll figure out a way to do that.
We have water, but it looked to me when I was there, Liz, is it was just that line that went around the edge of the outside. And so if you were going to plant them in the internal section of the cemetery, we would have to do, you know, there isn't plumbing to the...
Oh, there were some hydrants, right?
There's hydrants, but my trees are also on a drip system. So there's a black plastic piece of pipe that runs through. And so depending on where you think that you want a tree and where the hydrant is, I would not suggest running a pipe across the street or down the road to get to a tree.
Yeah.
So it would have to be specifically if the road was here, your thing is here, then it would fall in between. And then for mowing days, you have to roll it up and hope it doesn't snap because it's hard plastic. Mm-hmm. It's not like a hose.
There's drought-resistant trees that can be used, and that can be coordinated with the NRCS. They would
certainly
recommend red maples, for example, take very little water.
Mm-hmm.
They're relatively decorative, don't create a lot of shade because they don't get real big, but those are some of the issues. We were setting that loop where we were at 250 there, moving along here. Do we anticipate using more than that? I have no idea what it costs.
I think that's a good
We can use that as kind of as a placeholder for now, because what we're inserting here right now, and I'd like to remind the board that, is not necessarily etched in stone. And this is a preliminary budget. So, Luke, would we go with the 250?
Yeah, that looks good to me. Okay. If you guys talk about it, Liz, and
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a placeholder.
Yeah.
We can talk about it next month, maybe. But so utilities, looks like thus far we spent $1,600. The year before we spent $2,100. Probably going to level out about $2,500. But I want to add at least 20% increase in there. So $2,750 would probably get us there. $2,750.
Okay.
Okay.
Wages, I think we talked again. That'll be kind of in our review. And then wheat spraying and fertilizing, $100. Looks like it's been adequate in the past.
Yeah.
So, and I think, Chen, I know you have to leave. So, do you have any of all that stuff we discussed that you think is way off base or thoughts that you have?
No, Luke, no, I think everything looks pretty good. The only thing to remember is these funds aren't spent until July 1st. So when you're talking about gravel, you might need it this spring. So it'll be on this budget, not the next budget.
Yeah. That's true. But then we'll need it the following spring.
Right.
So I think that's probably enough looking at numbers for me anyway. And a good start to our preliminary budget. I guess what I would suggest is the second part of that was the capital outlay stuff. And so as a board, we just over the next month chew on those projects that are on there. And if we have anything else that we anticipate, we kind of discuss that next month. Does that sound okay to everyone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, Luke. Thank you. And Chandler. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer, for sticking out that.
Sure, no problem. I will plug these numbers into that spreadsheet, Luke, and I'll send it back to you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Yes.
You need to go check it. Any other input for now on the budget? Is there? We got them on the deal.
Yeah, they're all.
Do I have, is there a form I have to sign?
I don't think so.
See, that I've already signed it,
exactly. If it's not signed, I'll bring it back.
Okay. What's that?
If it's not signed, I'll bring it back.
Okay.
Well, it's not nice of you, but it's a, they're in there.
That's okay. I can figure that out. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Chandler. And Luke, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I don't know if that was helpful. I could have done that, too, and just brought you those numbers to chew on. I don't know.
Well, that's good that we all got to, you know, look at it and go over it together. So, better understanding of it.
Yeah, I think it was awesome.
Yeah, looks like it's
well, John, before we go on, Dave needs to leave, but he really wanted to say something.
Yeah, I was going to.
Okay.
I know it's out of order. I didn't plan to be here, but I needed to talk to Grant. I figured he'd be here at the meeting.
He's
out of line, so you speak.
Okay.
If you want to step over here, so he might be able to hear. I believe this is the speaker here.
Hey, Grant.
I'm leaving a little bit anyway.
You still with us?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, I just needed to tell you, Grant, that we couldn't complete the burial today. I met Danette up there, and there was no family at this service, and for that I'm very grateful. I just need to. This is the condition of the gravesite. And that's the grave.
Mm.
Yeah, and this
can
is
hold that up for the camera.
That's the grave site.
Oh,
and that hole that you can kind of see—that's the grave. And typically, the family puts the ashes down in, but it wasn't the family, and so Jeanette and I were the ones doing it. And there's absolutely no way I can I can utilize that. I mean, it should have been something
ice.
Else.
Is that snow.
Ice? That's water.
Ice
it's hot standing water in the hole.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wants to see a picture of it, so show him Grant.
Yeah.
So, the...
And was that here?
Huh?
Was that here both?
So I'm taking
I'm taking
the ashes back with me, and I don't know what the solution is. It should have been snow removal and a hole dug when there wasn't any water.
Do we have a sump pump?
Well,
but you're not much you can do with snow on that.
There's kind of a lake right there.
Yeah, there are some drainage issues. And this is in the
veterans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm taking the ashes back with me, and just have to find another place to dig them and bury them.
Well, the plot is established, isn't it? I mean, the site is established. That's the established site.
Well, they're randomly chosen because they're veterans.
I know. I understand that. But that
it's within.
Is there another site that can be used?
I mean,
oh, I don't see it.
I'm sure that there could be a site that's a little bit further up that could have had the snow removed and a hole dug. I'm sure of that. But
there was snow removal done there, and I checked it this morning. Of course, everything was frozen this morning, so it wasn't standing water when we put the carpets and things out before we left about 6:30 this morning. So. There's a chance it might have melted and ran into that area. But we did remove quite a bit of snow from that area. But there are other plots available. We could put it there if we needed to.
Well, would that work? I mean, would that satisfy the family?
Well, yeah, but this guy's a veteran from up at the home. And really, it's just his friends.
Well, there's a whole lot of family.
Yeah, not a lot of family.
If Dave wanted to leave the ashes there at the office,
we can't do that.
No, I'm responsible for the ashes, and I'll take them with me.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We can find another site, perhaps. But right now, if there's so much snow, it's hard to guarantee there won't be water there.
I'll keep the ashes with me, and we'll discuss it down the road. Thank
maybe,
you. Sorry,
maybe go look at the area. I'd like to go look at.
Over that warm with all the snow out there, it's hard to keep the water off.
Hard to apologize for the weather.
So, is there something that's
we got to
find out? We'll definitely
seek it. I'm sure there's snow all over, but
thank you.
High ground maybe a little bit higher.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But
higher.
You know,
is there anything higher or where there's not so much
snow?
Yeah,
snow all over.
It's 52 degrees out. There's not much you can do. Everything's melting.
Okay, so if there were a family there, if this were a regular funeral and a family. You'd make it work.
No, what I would have done is, you know, depending on what time the funeral was, because he's a vet, I would have got a sump pump and tried to suck out as much water as you can. But
with a cremation hole, it's only what?
Usually it's
like about a foot and a half.
Give or take.
Yeah,
it's not very deep.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if the family had been there today, that would have been awful.
Well, yeah. But they also have to understand that we can't control the weather.
Yeah. And the water seepage in the ground coming up, we can't stop that either. So that's unfortunately, that's...
I just don't know what...
You know...
I'm just trying to run it through my mind what could have been done.
We did quite a bit of snow removal. I used the backhoe and moved... probably 5 or 6 shovel, you know, the front end of that, bucket loads of snow out of that area, trying to prevent that from happening. But there's just so much out, you know, there's a foot of snow on the ground. It's not much you can do when it's 40 degrees. It's going to melt.
The only thing I can think of is that you could berm it somehow with other soil. I mean, of course, everything's froze right now. All your soil piles are froze too, so it's hard to find material to berm it to keep the water out of the hole until it's
unless you put some gravel. put some dirt on top.
Yeah, to hold the water. Talking about, the only thing I can think of is in a situation like that is possibly sandbagging the hole to keep the water. It wouldn't keep it all out, but it would certainly keep some out. But we're beyond that situation right now.
But it might pay, and this is because I just got flooded this weekend too. I think it will pay to have sandbags available.
Well, there.
That's what I've decided. Yeah. Did you see the yard?
Oh, you can get.
That's above my muck boots.
You can get the erosion control.
Oh, yeah.
We used to call it baloney. It comes, they're 6-8 inch long tubes with
a log.
You could get them and keep them on hand. Or, like Liz suggested, just maybe keep 10 or a dozen sandbags and stack somewhere in the shop because you have to keep it where it doesn't freeze. But that's just a suggestion. We're beyond that for on this particular incident. So, Grant, I'll just advise that you would work with Dave on getting those remains, well, they're not remains, the ashes in the ground. If you would do that. Okay. Any other comments on that particular issue?
I don't know if Dave is still there. Maybe he can hear me. But if not, I guess I could just call him. But could he send me those pictures so I could kind of assess what happened there? Because I was there this morning. There wasn't standing water.
Yeah, well, there's
there were ice on the ground. But
yeah, it's 52 degrees here now.
So
you're
not going to keep water out.
This morning it was
probably.
All the ice that was out there is melted. Because the carpets were on top of ice, and so it's just melted. So there's really not much that you can do. You got the runoff from the hill.
Weather, we wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah, you could probably get those pictures. I'm sure Dave would.
I took a couple myself.
But he has left, so you'll need to give him a call.
Yeah, just give him a call.
Just
I got a couple.
I do have to leave at 4:30 or 4:25.
Oh, and Danette has some. She'll send you too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Luke,
thank
you need to bug out too.
4:30. I'm just saying we got a full.
Let's continue on.
Whenever you have to leave, just say I'm not here. Okay. We will move on to the sexton's report. Laren Hansen is going to fill in. It's going to be relatively brief. Grant, I believe Grant, you left him with a brief outline, so we will go with that right now. Sexton's report.
Okay, I'll just read it like I see it here. Multiple days were spent plowing and removing snow. Shelving and materials were bought and installed in shop. Finished cleaning, organizing, and mostly stocked the shop areas. Made several trips to KC to develop requests for propane heater estimates. Started in-depth maintenance on mower fleet. Got a head start on processing and training part-time help in preparation for summer. Worked on developing website. Finished security camera install. Cleaned, installed shelving, organized, and stocked shed designated for plumbing equipment. Had gate and overhead doors repaired. Established tax-exempt status with multiple businesses. Worked on system for remote sales. Had electrical work done in cabin and office. Worked with tree trimming crews. Was able to send both deputies to Casper for groundskeeping training today. And then anticipated stuff for March. Progress on website. Further work on Sims. Clean and organized cabin. KC heater install. And then further training for irrigation system.
Anyone have any questions on any of those accomplishments or stated accomplishments.
I'm just trying to match the tree trimming comment here with the tree trimming that we talked about while we're talking about the budget. I didn't realize we'd had any tree trimming going on this month.
Any branches that broke off, they went out and cleaned up the trees, broken limbs, cut them up, get them out of there.
Winter cleanup?
Yeah, we Grant,
anytime this heavy snow breaks off the branches.
Do you have any comments on that, Grant?
Dave is correct in some of that. Some of that's just winter damage to trees that we've tried to clean up. Some of that also is the power company sent crews through for power line clearance. And so I helped them kind of spot their way through, find the roads through the snow, also trying to about juggle their schedule with visitors and funerals and things like that. So that was, we didn't have a whole lot of funerals, so that was fairly easy, but that's what that's in reference to, working with those crews. So that was not an expense on our part, financial, it was time and project that I had to put time toward.
One more silly question. Several trips to KC to develop a request for the heater estimates?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's go ahead, Mr. Hanson.
Basically, we've done that twice because of the discrepancies that we had in the bids. I believe we were down there when we were discussing the electrical heating, and now we're dealing with the propane. So I specifically asked Grant to send Paul down to, he took pictures of the, where the propane tank would go and whatnot. So I believe that's why they were there.
Maybe for more clear communication, put instead of several, just quantify it by two trips or three trips.
And maybe who did the trips. That would help too. Yeah. So I could say, if I had a question, I could say, oh, Paul looked at that or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Since we're dealing with Donetti, you have anything to ask that? Since we're dealing with KC.
I only knew that they were in KC once because Paul forgot his key, but I didn't know that they were in there.
Oh, okay. All right. So, continuing on, we've got the year-to-date information. I guess we're all capable of reading that. I didn't see anything on there that needs to be addressed. No gravel applied, which is this time of year there would be none applied. So any other members have any comment? That's the Sexton's report. Does anyone have any more questions on the Sexton's report?
I guess I would just ask for elaboration. I know we have it coming up, but maybe that's a better place for it. But just where the overtime was spent as in relation to that Sexton's report.
I agree.
Grant, I guess I was correct.
I understand. You were you're referring to that special report that Grant wrote up.
Not only that, but we have overtime. A significant amount of overtime again.
Yeah.
And so I'm asking in relation to that Sexton's report, which was just given, where those hours of overtime were dedicated and what projects we felt were urgent enough, just to help me understand this overtime situation that we're going to talk about later.
It's not like there's one project that's costing all of the overtime. It's just a matter of it accumulates by the end of the month, so it's a little overtime here or there, an hour a day here, you know, hour and a half the next day or whenever. So I think the majority of our projects this month that would have pushed us into overtime was probably snow plowing. We've had to do that numerous times, and that kind of pushes off other responsibilities. And it's time consuming. So that's one area that would have pushed us in overtime. But I think historically, the reality is the Willow Grove and Casey, they have had overtime every month for years. So it's just part of the way we're having to operate, really. I'm working on addressing some of those, as in trying to streamline how we do things, making them more efficient. So it's not like there's one thing that's just causing numerous amounts of overtime. Some of it's just how they've operated. They've been operating in the past for years with overtime every month. And it's actually reduced now than it used to be, and it's going to continue to reduce as we perfect what we're doing and how we're doing it.
And Grant, how far back did you go with that, and how did you find that they were using overtime for years?
That's basically based off of hearsay from talking to other employees, previous employees, board members. Undoubtedly, it's documented in the financial records. That might be a good place to get hard, fast numbers on that.
Thank you.
We will discuss that further when we talk about the overtime.
In new business.
Happened in the past doesn't mean it needs to continue.
That will be discussed on under new business. So anything else on the Sexton's report? Does anyone have any board members have any other comments? All right. Did we approve the financial report?
Yes, we did.
Did we?
I think so.
No. No, we didn't.
I don't think we did.
I make a motion we approve the financial report.
We have to go back to do that, then. I don't have it.
I second.
Okay, there's been a
motion.
I apologize to everyone. That's my fault. There's been a motion to accept the financial report and a second. Are there any other comments from the board? Luke, Sheila, none, there being none. All those in favor of accepting that financial report signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, there being none, we accept that financial report. Sexton's report, we don't have to vote on that. We'll move any there. It doesn't appear to be any guest presentations or bids. Now we go to unfinished business. So the first thing we're going to tackle is that KC heater. That has called it an albatross. It is an understatement. It's been a gigantic pain in the butt. We need to get it taken care of. It's looking like if Dave did some preliminary adding and subtracting and carrying a few numbers, and it's looking like the initial outlay for the propane is going to be almost double what the electric unit would be. But I believe that the propane furnace, for example, probably has a 2-to-1 lifespan as opposed to electric. The elements in electric heaters, especially something that size, have a short lifespan. So
the other piece of that, and I don't know if everyone's kind of up to speed, was after that last kind of round of stuff that I sent out, and we had approached Jesse Ruby from Ruby Electric. He looked at the specs of the building and everything and was looking to order a heater and felt like the amount of energy that we needed to appropriately heat that building. It was going to be super inefficient to use electricity. And so he's the one that recommended that we go to a propane heater as a more efficient, long-term, more cost-effective method.
Wasn't there talk of making more of an office space by putting up walls and windows for Danette and then just heating that room?
My understanding was is they wanted to, because I mapped it out as like an 8x10 section, and I haven't had a chance, but I'd like to, this upcoming weekend, go in there and move my lowering device and pretend like there is a chair and a desk. To me, it just doesn't look big enough for
8x10 is.
So that's what I'd like to do, and I marked it out on the floor with my little purple chalk and stuff like that. But they were also talking about it completely being closed off on the top, so it's its own entity by itself. So there'd be no heat in there unless you put a space heater in there with it. Mm-hmm. So my electric, fair warning, my electric bill is going to go up if that's
could,
the case.
Yeah, it could quite possibly be a cubicle. I've discussed with the guys about, and we have discussed that in the past, is a cubicle. In other words, an open ceiling to it so that the heater would be positioned directly behind where the office cubicle would be. So I believe there would be adequate heat into the...
If you left it open in the top.
The only reason, the advantage of having the enclosed top is you would have that storage area.
Sure.
So whether, and that would be kind of your call, Danette, whether you would need that, if that storage area would be that critical to justify an additional heater in the enclosed office space.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I mean, if you're short of storage, then it would probably be a yes, but if you're not necessarily short,
I don't think I'm really short of space as far as storage and stuff like that.
Yeah, that would answer that. Yeah. And Paul and Grant, and we discussed this also, that they would have the time, they would make the time to go down there and build this structure. So we wouldn't have to contract the structure out. It's a relatively simple... You're building two walls. The front is would be either open or if there was a door going in. But if it's a cubicle, it wouldn't be open anyway. I mean, it wouldn't be enclosed
right.
In the front. So, but getting back to what we're going to do with the heater, we're going to try and get that done. Paul solicited some bids. He went out and tried to get some bids. As of the 10th, which was Friday, I believe, or Thursday or Friday, he'd only received one bid. But since then, there's been another bid. And the last bid was from Cowboy State Plumbing. That is here in Buffalo. I can't read what that bid is.
$67.50
and
Tri-County Gas for hookup is $624.51, getting us to $73.74.51, Luke. Then to fill up that tank, they got a price of $1,100 to fill up that propane tank.
And they would install the tank. I believe that's on the bid. Apex. Yeah, Apex was at 40. FYI, I mean, for everybody's information, Apex was at 48.35.
That's without the heater.
No, it includes.
It says mine says excludes.
Electrical
for the heater.
It's not running the electricity to the heater, but it's just putting the heater there.
Yeah, and the propane heater to run the blower, I believe they run on 110, so there should not have to be any additional electric work done. Those furnaces run on the blower runs on 110.
So I think we ought to maybe think for a second about what's the purpose of the heater. Is the heater to heat the shop continually all the time? Or is the purpose of the heater to have heat when we need it, when Danette needs it to do office work, for meetings, to meet with customers, or what is the heat for, and what do we want it for? What do you, Danette, do you have something to...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not up there all the time because it's a part-time position, so I don't spend Monday through Friday up there by any means. On the weekends is usually when I go, or after work when I have to go plow and stuff like that. But, like, we use Dixie McIntyre as an example. So after Bill died and stuff like that, they had to come into the shop, and she froze because it was
absolutely cold,
freezing in there. So as far as that goes.
You also have your side-by-side stored there.
Yes, my side-by-side. Both my lawnmowers are inside, weed whackers and all that.
Lawnmowers, the heat is not that essential, but your side-by-side to have that shop at. And we're not talking 68 degrees constant temperatures.
No.
We're keeping that at 45 degrees.
And then she would just kick it up when she's there.
Through the winter months.
Yeah.
And if you have an appointment with someone that's going to come in and purchase a grave site, or there's to be a burial or whatnot, you need to spend some time with those people, you can just turn that heater up.
Certainly.
And there would be comfortable for the... So
right.
I believe that, but that was the original intent way back when we first started this to put that heater in that shop. So,
okay, so we do want to...
Because I used to sit on a chair, and I still do. I sit in a chair where the pump house is inside the shop. So I got myself a little table and moved a chair in there because when I type up my reports, my hands freeze. So I just hunker down in there now, and I crank the heat up when I'm there.
We're going to get some heat in there. I've just a real quick note on this, on the Cowboy State Plumbing bid. They are putting in a 75,000 BTU unit, and Apex is 60,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that would probably... Apex didn't itemize everything where Apex Cowboy did, but that's probably where the difference is in the pricing. My shop is considerably bigger than the shop down there at KC, and my heater is, I believe it's a 65,000 BTU unit, and at 45 degrees it hardly runs. Of course, my shop is completely insulated, but so I think at this point, we're at this, are we to the point where we're going to pick either one of these two to install this heater?
Okay. I think we should.
Luke or Sheila, comment on that statement, please.
I agree with you, John. Yes, I think we should pick a company to do it.
Okay, Luke, where are you at here?
Yeah, either one is fine with me. I think we just need to get it done.
Yeah, there you go.
I say go with the lesser one, Apex. What do you think, Luke?
Apex is $48.35. Cowboy State is $67.59.
Yeah, we're looking at a $2,000 difference. And then there's, have to remember, there's also both... propane provided by other in the Cowboy State plumbing. So neither one of them is going to set the propane tank. We have to have that done. And Tri-County will give us a $250 fee discount if we use them from the six. So it'd be an addition. If we use Tri-County, it'll be an additional $450 added to that $48.35, I believe.
$624.
But that was did that count to $250?
No, it says the cost was $624.
What's this minus $375?
And he would take up $250 off the setup if we choose them. So it'd be $250 off that, so $624.
Yeah, $250 off of that. Yeah, so that would put us below $400.
$375.
Oh, that's what that is. $375.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. My suggestion is we go with Apex with the heater and Tri-County with the propane.
So moved.
And also, real quick, Grant and Paul will get a ditcher, and they're going to do the ditching from the propane tank to the building.
Okay.
So we're not going to hire anyone to do that. They're just going to rent. That's where that rental will come in. Okay. They'll get a ditcher and ditch that in. So are we in agreement?
Yes.
I make a motion. We go with Apex for the heater, and Tri-County for the gas, propane.
A second installation.
Not to exceed, well, with the bids.
Yeah, yeah. With the bids.
Okay. Any other discussion from the board? Being none, all those in favor of using Apex for the furnace and Tri-County on the propane, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. None opposed. The motion's carried. Grant, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You got all that? I guess the ball is in your court now.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. That would the KC here. I should have bought it. A bottle of whiskey and celebrate.
Finally.
You're going to have heat by June.
After eight, yeah, it's going to be
can't wait
really
for August.
Stuart suggested those things. I'm coming to the next meeting. At
yeah, it's coming. Yeah. Can't party without me.
On behalf of the board, Donetti, I can only apologize for it taking this long. There's no reason for this. I mean, there's a reason for it. There was a lot of confusion involved, but it's no use going into that. The whiskey's getting warm, so. Okay, now we move on.
Thank you.
Luke, did you need to take off? I kind of forgot what you...
Not until like 4:25 or something.
Oh, okay. So,
I have a meeting at 4:30.
Unfinished business... We have the request from Harness Funeral Home to store, I believe, well, I've just got items listed. I assume it's grave markers and vaults and whatnot. And I contacted, Danetti's going to go, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
I contacted the auditor, the state auditor, actually I did that this morning. I was just going to, I jotted down her comments. I guess her comments were, and this may, Luke, first of all, Luke, I'm going to, you visited with Barry Craigle on the issue. What I will give you an opportunity to comment on this at this point, please.
Yeah, I mean, what he told me is, you know, we can't make special treatment for one business. So if we were going to open up storage of headstones, for example, it would be to all the monument companies in the area, or even, you know, there are a significant number of people that can now order them off the internet. And so it would be an opportunity for everyone. We couldn't, you know, support only one business or give one business special treatment, was what he told me.
Okay, and that pretty much coincides with what that Teresa at the here it is. Teresa at she's the auditor. She does the auditing for the Wyoming statutes, I guess, or whatever they are. And her comments were that it can be done. I mean, the board can go ahead and okay it, but it would have to be extended to all like vendors, if that makes sense. I guess it would be all funeral homes, for example, or all monument vendors or whatever, which she just said it can be complicated, but it can be done. We would have to codify it into our policies and procedures if we decided to grant that particular request.
I guess I tried to reach out to both Sheridan and Gillette, and I was successful in talking to the sexton in Gillette, and he said that they don't allow it for a number of reasons, but that they do provide a service for people that want to ship stones directly to the cemetery. Well, they'll actually receive those stones and then set them for a fee, a pretty reasonable fee of $50. To me, I don't want to get into the business like that, of setting stones, but I think it does bring up a point where, you know, that is something that people may want, and they ran into that, especially with not allowing direct shipments from funeral homes and stuff. So a little bit of both sides of that. To me, that doesn't make a ton of sense where they'll accept stones from private individuals but not businesses. Almost seems like they're competing, which I certainly, as a board, don't want to do.
That doesn't make any sense to me. I wonder how many different monument companies we actually deal with here. Grant, do you know?
I can only guess without actually taking time to go back through it all, but there's 6 or 7 probably. Because it's really up to the family, and they order them from whoever, so they can be shipped in. I've seen them come in from overseas. So who technically we're dealing with directly, it's a...
You've seen them come from overseas here?
6 or 7. Oh, yeah. So... as far as local companies, 6 or 7, if you count, you know, the surrounding areas that come and place monuments. But that'd be a hard number to come up with just off the top of my head.
Sure. Though. Okay, so what I'm hearing is that these, you said that shipped here, do you mean that they're delivered directly to the cemetery?
No.
Where do they go?
No. Usually the family will find a monument company that, someone who's willing to engrave the stone or work with the stone for them, and they'll have them process that and come in and place that stone here. We have protocol as a size of a base they can have and how big of a stone they can use, and that's all in the policy and procedures manual. And so whoever it is, I will just send them that protocol, and they meet that and come and set the stone. So the family decides who they want to use, and they come and set it directly.
Dave is here. Luke and Sheila, for your information, Dave is here. I've got a question, Dave, on your request to store. What period of time are you talking about storing? For example, would you want to store how much storage, and how long of a period were you?
Well, typically, you know, people order stones all year long. When they order in the summer, they come in the summer set. When they order in the late summer and winter chases us away, you know, we usually get one shipment, maybe. And then we'll get, and that's not very many, then we'll get another shipment in the spring, and we set them right away. I mean, it's not like I'm
asking to store stones that I'm trying to sell. That's not what it is.
Okay.
And as far as people bringing stones in from out of, you know, I've been in the stone business for 40 years, and monument companies do not, like a, you know, a monument company from Billings or Gillette or, you know, Belfouche, I don't care, Casper, they're not going to send their stones here and have them set here. There's a bit of a risk with that. Those companies always bring their stones and set them the same day. And then, and as far as stones coming from overseas, I've really never been told that. And I've never had a family that I know that ordered one from overseas. But and the amount of space that it's going to take is probably a fifth the size of this room. If you divided this room into fifths, you know, the stones we're going to have here sitting won't come past David. Or, I mean, this is a tiny area. Can we keep it clean? We keep it, you know.
Because they're just going to be lined up.
Okay.
Well, they come on a pallet.
Right.
These stones will come on a pallet, and there will be five or six stones on a pallet, maybe this big by that big.
And these stones actually belong to
families
that have been, that have a loved one already buried here.
They own
plots
here.
They're already engraved.
Yeah,
they're already engraved. They already have plots. So we're just kind of, you know, we're only really talking about when the weather's bad, like right now, it's so wet you couldn't possibly set anything.
Well, yeah, right? Because my manufacturer doesn't send me them in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, okay. We have maybe six that we have left over that came in the fall when the weather got too bad. And then, well, you know, there's a good chance we'll get 15 this spring. But I have a guy that's out here, and he just dives in and sets them all as soon as he can. I mean, it's, you know, it's contingent upon us as a company to put these up as soon as they get here.
Yeah.
We're certainly not storing them.
Okay. So are you, that, we talked about the stones. What else, if what else would you...
May I interject a quick comment before?
Okay.
And he's not, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not asking to store them inside the shop.
Oh, heavens no. Oh,
exactly. We're talking behind the counter.
Yeah,
I just wanted to clarify that.
And
everybody.
Technically, they don't really belong to you.
They don't.
They belong to the
people who buy
the
land.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, you're just going to set them. Okay.
Okay, and where you want to store...
Vaults.
Well, it would be to the benefit of the cemetery if I did. It'd certainly be my benefit because I have, you know, they're big and they stack. And so my vaults would take an area maybe 8 feet by 4 feet. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there's 7+ million square feet in the cemetery, 32 of that isn't that big of a deal. And it's an advantage to the cemetery because they're right here, and we don't have to bring them out and throw them on the concrete and be in the way and that sort of thing.
How many would you want to store at a time?
Never more than five. And they, you know, maybe it's this tall, that wide, and here's the wall. That's it.
Okay. And I would like to remind the board that the information I've got would be that in order for us to extend that, I mean, to honor that request, we have to extend that to other like vendors.
Well, but what other vendors? I'm not understanding that.
Well, I mean, other funeral homes, for example.
Cain Funeral Home.
Cain Funeral Home or would they, I mean, we would have to, I'm not saying that they would want to do that, but we would have to extend that offer to them according to state statutes.
Yeah.
Do we have to extend that or just not say no if they ask us?
Yeah, I think that would be...
Yeah, you don't have to
do that
every
I wouldn't take my stones to Sheridan Cemetery and have them wait there.
Now, who would be responsible if they got damaged or stolen, you know, liability reasons, on what for the cemetery board? Who would be responsible for if they got damaged here? Who would have to pay for them? Or who would be responsible if they got damaged?
I think I would. And if, it, you know, depends on who. I've never had that happen. The only time I've ever had stones damaged is when they're sitting in place and somebody's car gets away and runs into something. I've never had that happen here at the cemetery.
I mean, who's responsible for headstones that are already
Let's
set?
Just say he brought out headstones that got damaged.
Yeah.
Now, who's going to pay for the damage?
I'm just saying, but I'm asking, what if they were already set? Who pays for the damage?
Typically, the cemetery does. If a kid runs into one with a mower,
that's if they're set. We're talking about storage.
I'm just saying, if the families own them, that's different than if a company owns them.
I think we'd have to put it into our policy that we would likely have to codify that, you know, we would not be held responsible for liability, and you know, we'd have to work with our attorney to kind of draft that language. That's kind of what Barry had talked about as far as, you know, making sure that we're not liable for any damage to any of the stuff would be something that we want to make sure that we are careful about drafting, so that if they're dropped out of the truck and, you know, whomever the monument company is that comes to set them finds them in a damaged condition, they can't turn around and say we're responsible. But I think that's a reasonable concern.
I think that's a good idea. You know, the cemetery needs to be protected.
Yeah. So we are discussing this, and this is another issue we've been dealing. I believe you made the request back in December or January, so it's we owe that to you to make a decision on this rather than drag it on. So does anyone have any other comment at this point on the request from Dave to store vaults and stones?
I just want to revisit the one little piece about the difference between
The difference
between telling Kane Funeral Home, for instance, that, hey, you want to store some vaults? Having them call up and say, could we store them? And then we'd say yes, but not going to them first.
According to the statutes, I believe we just simply, we have to
notify them somehow.
Notify them and let them know that that
where was that in the statute? Where did they say that in the statute? Let me read that
language. This right here is.
I mean, I certainly think any of the businesses in the area that are like, it would behoove us to notify them to keep us out of trouble, that it doesn't seem like we are playing favorites. And so, you know, if that's a simple letter that says we've updated our policy, here it is, it includes, you know, stuff in there about the liability. So I think, to me,
extended, I don't think that means you have to.
This is another part of that.
But that's just my opinion. Sounds like we're either ready for a motion or we're ready to move on.
Yeah, I believe. Liz was looking at this part of the statute here. The statute is somewhat vague, which is typical of Wyoming statutes. I believe we've kind of covered everything we have to. I believe we're at a motion.
Okay, I believe in the spirit of what we ran on, Sheila, Luke, and Liz and I ran on, one of the things was working together closely with the people are in our same group, you know, and those are certainly the funeral homes. Working better with the funeral homes, have a closer relationship with those funeral homes. And if this will help them do their job and help us be better prepared because everything's here, I would like to move that we allow them storage space here. Limited amount of storage space. Because we don't want Dave bringing in 20 vaults. We don't want K entertain bringing in 20 volts. I'm not saying that, and neither are you, but a reasonable amount. If Kane wanted one here, you know, now you know how often they come over here.
So we have a motion, I believe that motion is to grant the ability for, we'll call them vendors, they're all vendors, whether they're monuments or whatever, to grant the vendors the
limited storage.
And it would be written into our policies and procedures, so we would have to make an addendum to our policies and procedures, but I believe that would have to be a separate vote. So the motion is to grant the space to the vendors for limited storage.
Should we say limited storage of...
You have to make a motion to amend the motion. I'm trying to do this.
Because I want to limit it to these items. Let me clarify.
I'd like to move that we open up a limited amount of storage to vendors for headstones and vaults. And we can further define limited. You know, no more than 3 vaults at a time, for instance. The headstones really don't matter because they're out in the yard anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. I ordered the 5 at a time, so it would have to probably be 5. Did they take up the same amount of space?
Okay.
Okay.
Now wait a minute. Who's gonna, when you bring these out here, who's gonna pay to offload them, or if we need to send them back, who's gonna pay for, you know, the, if we decide who's gonna pay for the off unloading, who's gonna do that off the truck?
Yeah, well, no, the cemetery has no involvement in that.
No personnel, I mean, employees.
Yeah.
They just need an open garage. Yeah,
they come on a trailer and they just lift them off. They're light. They're poly vaults. They're light. Yeah.
And the reason you want to store them out here is why, Dave?
Well, it's the convenience of the cemetery because they're right here. And when we have a vault, they just lift it up and take it to the grave.
And it's there waiting for them. Once they dig the hole, they can put it right in.
Yeah, they have to have the vault bottom in the grave before they put the Lorne devices on.
So just for a point of clarification, was there a second to the motion?
No, there has not been a second.
I will second the motion. Okay.
Now discussion.
Okay, now there's an opportunity for further discussion from the board.
I guess I would solicit Grant's input on the vault situation. They seem a little bit more bulky and ripe for damage. So is it a benefit to have ready access to the vaults, Grant?
Are you still Grant?
Oh, I'm just saying, I'm trying to find a place for he's here. Okay, I'm sorry, what was your question?
Would it be a benefit to the cemetery staff, as we've kind of been told, to have ready access to the vaults and not have to wait on whatever funeral home or monument and company to deliver them so that they were ready for you?
I don't think it would. We haven't had any issues with it in the past. We've never had issues with any other funeral homes in the past with the situation either.
But would it benefit you having them?
Hey, Grant?
Not really. Okay. They're usually delivered in a reasonable amount of time. Usually the day of, and that's plenty of time to prepare a vault.
Okay, we have any other comments from the board? Sheila?
No.
You're awfully quiet.
Go ahead, Sheila.
Well, I don't see any problem in storing those vaults myself, but if Grant says that they're available the day of the funeral, Do they come the day of the funeral? Are they delivered then? And the cemetery people install them? Isn't that, don't they do that, or does the funeral home do that?
We install them. That's usually they deliver them, then we install them.
Okay, so.
Okay, so are they stored? Are there several of them stored at the funeral home, or are they stored? Where are they kept?
We don't store them at all. They deliver them to the shop, and then usually we have them in place within a couple of hours.
After the funeral.
Well, there are two parts to the vault. There's a part we put in right away when we dig the space, and then there's a second part we put in after the funeral. So there's two pieces to it.
Okay. Dave, where have we kept them before?
They've all, for the last 75 years, they've been here.
They've been at the cemetery?
Yeah.
So why all of a sudden aren't they not at the cemetery?
The previous board voted not to store them, not to allow the storage.
Why?
Because it appeared it was a violation of the state statute allowing public funds, personnel, time, or facilities or equipment to be stored would be misuse of the office is what it's listed.
See, that's what scares me.
The state auditor said, as long as you extend this privilege to others,
it's legal.
Our attorney has said, if we extend this privilege to others, it's legal. I'm going with them.
So we've had.
I agree.
Okay, there's been a moving along here. My responsibility to limit discussions also here. So I believe there's been a motion to allow a limited amount of storage to the funeral homes, which would be considered vendors, and it's been seconded. There being no further discussion, we would vote all those in favor of extending the ability to store, as I mentioned, signify by saying aye.
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 Luke was aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
No.
And I would say no, but it doesn't make any difference. So
it does.
Well,
I don't agree with myself all the time. So,
okay. So it would.
It's okay.
The vote is 4-1 to extend the ability to store.
Now, should I take that responsibility to draft up the letter?
Well, now we have to make a motion to add this to our policies and procedures that we've extended this. We have to add this to our policy and procedure. And I believe it's called an addendum to the policies and procedures. So that's where it becomes a little more complicated because we have to decide how much space, the liability involved, we have to...
So, can I make a suggestion?
Yes, Luke, please.
That we just have Barb work on drafting that, and then that allows us to kind of come with at least an idea of what's being proposed, and then rather than trying to invent the wheel here.
And I can be specific, because we don't have specifics right this second.
No, it can be done. We can do this. This can be ready to go next meeting, next month's meeting, or it doesn't have to be done today.
Okay.
No. And I'll be willing to work with you on that too, Barb.
Okay.
And it would be great to talk to Grant and see.
For that.
Okay.
So draft that, and then we'll vote on it next month.
Next month.
Dave.
Okay. Does that?
Okay.
Because we better get to the overtime stuff because we're going to lose people.
So. That's...
Thanks, Dave.
Where are we at here?
New business.
That was unfinished business. Okay, that's taken care of. Then we're at new business. Is there anything else, Dave? That
I do. I have a request. You know, the problems that we ran into with the scheduling of this funeral today didn't have to be. I would like to request that if they have a no funeral day, and we have them in the past, it would have been completely, more than completely easy for me to have not scheduled that funeral for today. But the fact that it was scheduled, the minister was called, friends and family were notified, it was in the paper, military was called, they were all ready to do it. And then I found out that it was a no funeral day. I would have, if I'd have known, I wouldn't have scheduled it today. But what Grant told me, and he's right, number one, he said they couldn't do it because they had training, but the training was in-house. He told me the training was in-house, which means here. So I didn't think the 10 minutes was going to make that much difference. But he also said that it's on the county website. Well, I'm sure that that's true. But, you know, as a funeral home and funeral homes in the area, we don't go to the county website. We expect them to be here, you know, this day to this day, unless we're told. I would request that if they have a no funeral day, we're told enough in advance as they know it to put it on our calendar. And if they have training, I get that. If there's not going to be anybody here, I get that. Just, you know, a simple email, like when we have to request burial 48 hours in advance, please just have them email me or call us. You know, like we're a team here. Just call me and say, hey, listen, put this on your calendar. You can't have funerals these days. And we'll do everything we can to schedule around.
And again, it's not just him. It's Kane and Sheridan.
And Grant and I, real quick, are going through that. Grant and I discussed that, and there will be either a phone call or an email in the future.
Thanks, Grant.
But when you scheduled this 48 hours in advance, you weren't told it was a no funeral day then?
Well, Grant, you know, about 4 days before, Grant had read it in the paper or something. He called me and said, this is scheduled, and that's a no funeral day. And I said, well, I didn't know that. And I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
And we had, and we, when I say we, the district, and through Grant had posted it on the county website on, I believe it was the
second of March.
It was
okay.
Posted, but in the future we will either make the phone call or email the calendar. And Grant generally has an idea at the beginning of the month which days, and they're going to be. They're not going to be, I mean, it's not going to be every month. We don't have training scheduled every month, but we don't decide when the training is. I mean, this training we're doing now, it deals with irrigation, and so it was kind of, I mean, it was important enough that the board, when it told him to go ahead and schedule, get involved in this training. So I don't think we're going to have a big issue with it, you know, as far as month after month that we have days where we...
It's been my experience that it only happens a couple times a year.
Yeah. So I think that just the communication. And Grant, are you still there?
He said we were going to lose him about 40.
Yes, I'm
here. Oh, okay. Have you heard the discussion here?
I did.
Okay.
I could hear it.
Yeah, but we will in the future. We'll just communicate that. And any other discussion or? So we have none. So now
I have input, but I'd like to wait until I'm in person to share that.
He has input, but he wants to wait till he's in person.
Oh, okay, okay. Let's see, where we were at the new business, and I know I made a note here. Here it is. The first thing we're going to talk about is the overtime. Are you going to have time for this, Luke? Or
no.
Probably I'm going to have to. I apologize for not getting to it. We could review, I mean, bring this back up in the April meeting, I'd really prefer to have more people here and involved with this, in particular the treasurer. So I think we'll table this until April's meeting as far as new business. Luke, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, we will see you next month then.
Thank you, Luke.
Okay. Standardizing the bid requests. We've had issues in the past with bidding projects. I'm sorry, Dave. Did you have anything else before I you can leave? I mean, I don't want to keep you here. Oh, okay. I thought maybe you wanted to visit something. Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, you're more than welcome, Dave. Yep.
Thanks for the consideration.
Yeah.
Do appreciate
more than welcome. I am going to take a brief recess or
I agree.
Pee my pants.
I've been waiting for this one.
And we are at the bid request. This is going to run a little longer, but we'll get through it. We're really
you're done.
Yeah. So,
Barb.
This is Sheila. This is a 73-year-old bladder.
I forgot about the time change.
Oh,
because she's in Arizona. Huh? They don't change time.
Oh, lucky you. Yeah.
And I was sitting out in the sunshine, and I was waiting for 2 o'clock. So I'm glad you
text me. I think we might have to put in a teapot.
Something warm to drink.
Yeah, it's cold in here. I might shut off the fan.
Well, I'm going to take a break, too. I'll be right back.
Yeah, got it. Looks like it's slowing down, doesn't it?
Sure enough.
Well, I thought I could, and I did that, but then I thought it went faster. I was like, oh no, that's not what I need.
This is pretty good, but I just want to see. I want to sit with Grant laying on, but I want to see how what input he puts in there when he sets a lot of stuff. Because
the problem we found before we did the rest of the work here, the problem we have with some of these bids is that they insert their own ideas as far as how they. Is that right? Oh, okay. Not supposed to?
Oh, no, I'm just checking that the battery hasn't run down.
Okay.
I have to say, you've got a little way to go, because school board...
When we have meetings, bring extra batteries.
I know. School board last night went on 4 hours almost. So, you're lightweights.
Yeah. Well, I knew we were going to take longer, and we still have some work. Well, the bids will be the last thing before the executive session.
Bids won't take long.
Who is this gentleman here?
Pardon me?
Who is this gentleman?
Lauren Hansen is his name. He's a temporary hire through the Sheridan Temp office working on our SIMS program.
Oh, okay.
And he, we asked him just to sit in for Grant, yeah. We don't have hard copy minutes today.
Supposed to be taking notes.
That's okay. We've got the recording. So I forgot. So you have to, because Grant normally keeps the minutes. So, but we
way
got
to go, Barb, and you were a teacher.
we've got.
It didn't even enter my mind.
You know, I thought get no apple for the teacher today for me.
I get a worm in it,
and I forgot. So.
Well,
but it's all recorded, so yeah. You just have to. Grant will use the recording okay.
100 times. I believe that. You get to take notes at the next meeting on the board over there.
What's Larry doing sitting here then?
And I believe Grant signed out too.
That's
Grant,
a good question.
Is still there?
No, he
Grant. Grant's signed out too now. So.
It's just me.
Okay. Hey, we can deal with that, Sheila.
I don't know.
Okay, you can.
Okay, we still have a quorum, so we can go on with the.
Excuse me.
Do it.
We'll get Liz back here.
Come on, Liz.
I knew it would be a long one today, though.
What's that?
I knew it would be a long one.
They're always long.
Well. Well, we're cleaning things up, and that's.
At least we got that stupid heater resolved.
Yeah. Let me tell you something about government. It's not supposed to be fast and quick.
It's supposed to be half fast?
Well,
not
government is designed to be long drawn out. I mean, if it was simple, everybody'd be doing it, you know. But we can speed things up, and I'm working with Grant on a. Where did I put that? I'm working. Grant and I are working on a guideline, basically, to add items to the agenda, to bring up topics. I was going to do it myself, and I thought, hell, I might as well get Grant, you know, because Grant actually has a degree in parliamentary procedures and whatnot.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But anyway, it'll be a guideline for introducing topics, mm-hmm. And we're going to, when we get that all put together, I'll have a copy for each board member. And like I say, it'll just be a guideline for introducing topics onto the agenda. When Grant and I are through with that, I'll have a handout for everyone.
So just calling and asking for something to go onto the agenda is not?
Well, no, legally, I mean, technically you can do it at any time prior to right up until the start of the meeting. You can add anything to the agenda. But to speed it along, Liz, if someone comes to a meeting with something they want to put on the agenda, as the chairman of the board, I would expect that you have documentation, if you have handouts, have them prepared to hand them out. And these are things you can work with through the sextant also, and I encourage that you work with the sextant to introduce these topics and whatnot, to get information. In other words, he may have some information that's pertinent to your particular topic. Does that make sense?
Her dog was barking.
She was poking fun of me?
Her dog was barking. Well, that makes sense because you don't want to add 20 minutes to a meeting that you didn't know that you're going to.
It'll just be a guideline, just a basic guideline so that.
But are we talking for people who come to speak or
no,
for
no,
us?
No, for the board members. The board members are the only, we're the only people that can introduce topics to the agenda.
Okay.
So. But
well,
anyway.
I sent in pictures of the drainage in PC, so I would say I'm covered on that.
We're moving on to our standardized bid request. Grant isn't here right now, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to suggest everybody have the Grant put this together to present to the board, but. Just a quick recap. We're having issues with contractors looking at our bid proposals and kind of inserting their own ideas into the bid proposals. So what we're having is we end up with bids that are apples and oranges. One contractor looks at it from the standpoint of, for example, if I'm going to have my equipment there, I want to do it all right away.
Yeah.
And we don't budget that way. You know, there's things that we do. So we've had issues, for example, with the heater. Look how long we monkeyed around with that heater. We had bids that weren't consistent, or they didn't address the exact issues. So what we're in the process of doing is getting a more congruent bidding system put together so that it's simple, concise, to the point. And Dave has had, through his military experience, has done work with through the bidding process. So I'm going to ask him to work with Grant and maybe simplify this a little bit. I didn't expect almost two full pages, but I don't believe we'll do anything.
Honestly, as I look this over, where it has the 8 tips to write the request for proposal, that's where we've kind of fallen down, and that's on us. Detail the project and what your organization needs. We haven't provided that information to the people we've asked to bid. So therefore, that's why we get a bid that's for the security systems. Remember, some were tens of thousands of dollars, and some were $1,200, and because we didn't tell them exactly what we wanted.
I'm not saying that we wanted to fall here either. I get that, but I think if
we follow those 8 steps, I think that's absolutely
we're good. And a lot of it is the scope of work. You got to define the scope of work. Be sure they understand it.
Yes.
And then,
that's where we
this,
were on. We were clearly
yeah, defined. But I'll work with Grant on that when he sends out for a couple of the requests for proposals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to work with them because in the military, we have timelines. So we have to expedite it. We've got to get it right the first time, get the questions, answers, and then move on. So,
well, any business needs to be able to do that. Lee writes grants or bids jobs and things too. Uh-huh. If you're hauling hay, you bid that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bidding. So if we just have a procedure for it, I think it'll be simple.
It's almost a fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Do this, tell us this, and this, and this, more.
Yeah.
Needs to be standardized. We need to get these bids precise and.
But
and if they don't do it, then we reject
it.
As it sits
right now, we're the only capital improvement or the capital expenditure we're looking at in the immediate future is right now is the cremation garden. So those bids, we had some issues with those bids. We had two bids we got were $200,000 difference in the bids, but
mm-hmm.
the contractor looked at it from two different perspectives. So
part
of it was the contractor inserting his ideas and us not making those bid requests concise enough. So what I'm going to do along with today with our new business, with the overtime, we're tabling that until April. And the standardized bid request, we will table that until April. And I believe there is a consensus board to have Dave work with Grant on.
Thank you, Dave.
Yes,
getting
that's
this
great.
Done. And you're willing to do that, Dave.
Yeah,
so,
I'll help.
So we will expect something. On the April meeting, that'll be tabled till April.
And you'll be coming with a form or something that you would use for a bid process.
Well, it's hard to have.
It's hard to do a form, but
fill in the lines.
You got to have it in writing in an email. It's like, here's your scope of work. We've got to put a sidewalk. Sidewalk so long, here. Now the materials will be used, labor, everything. And that's why you get the request for proposal. So you get your labor, you got your materials, whatever equipment you're going to need.
We're going to have an issue with the water system when we start looking at redoing our...
But we also need to look at, not everything can be done email.
No.
Sometimes you've got to have a form that
you
send out.
You've got
to
have pictures or talk to them in person. Be sure they understand what you're saying, or bring them out here. This is what we want to do.
Because to go 3 months fighting bids is... Like with the heater,
I'll simply take responsibility for it because I didn't.
No, we're just we're all in it together. We're just moving forward.
Taking responsibility. Liz, and I was going to ask you real quick. Did you have something? What, a gate or something after?
I said we might talk about that when we're talking about budgeting for the year. I think, the gate there at the cemetery in KC is kaput. It's not closed.
We're talking about budgeting for next year.
What kind of gate you got now? Electric or manual?
Oh, it was a manual gate. I think it was just a wire gate.
Yeah, it's just a plain old
And it's kind of the same thing. And that's not going to run into town and close that every night or anything.
I think we need something
that people can open on their own.
Yeah.
More importantly right now is to update the phone number on the sign.
But that's really a big deal because that is the wrong phone number for Jeanette. I mean, they can get me, it just so happens I bought the business that had that phone number, but and I don't mind if people call me. I can put my name on the sign. Because Jeanette is not always easy to get a hold of because she's working and she can't answer the phone all the time.
Now we are, and have a little presentation ready.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to do it. That's our section's job to actually do it. But if you can have an idea of
what kind of a gate you think
the people, your constituency, would want to.
I'd look good down there and represent the people.
Executive session. We have a salary compensation but we have to vote to go into executive sessions.
I make a motion we go into executive session.
I'll second it.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second to go into executive session. Sheila, you got to hang around. But anyone else, I would ask that you take your recorders and
out of the room, please.
Recording stopped.
I did my job.